That's all I need to know about you.
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 That's all I need to know about you. It's Hannah and Raven. All you have to do is fill in the blank. If you blank, that's all I need to know about you. You can call or text 1-800-330-9999. Raven, if you use a parenting lessons as a reason to be a selfish mom, that is definitely all I need to know about you.
What happened?
So there's this mom in the UK, and she's not buying her kids anything for Christmas because she spent $10,000 pampering herself with beauty treatments, veneers, Botox, and new clothes. Here she is talking about it in the now viral video.
After blowing so much money on my teeth this year, Christmas out the window for my kids. There ain't gonna be no presents as all the money's gone on my teeth.
She spent all the money on her teeth, but do you want to know why she did it, Raven?
Tell me.
As if all this wasn't terrible enough, she says she wants her children to be social media stars, and she hopes that getting no gifts will motivate them to go make their own money.
Get a job, huh?
That's what she said.
How old are these kids?
I don't know, but if you... Seriously?
Well, listen, if one's 23 and living in your basement, then yeah, get a job.
Okay.
All right? Mommy's getting some teeth, getting some chompers.
I don't know if the queen would approve of this.
Well,
do you think... I just can't imagine as a mom being like, I'm not getting my kids any present because I just got myself some Botox, and that's it.
I feel like she's probably going to circle back around and end up with some sort of gift here. However, veneers, pretty solid investment.
I guess.
If you got your veneers, you know, your skin treatments and your clothes for all 10 grand, too, I'd say pricing is different in the United Kingdom, I would guess.
I guess. I can't believe you're trying to say what she did was right,
no,
trying to teach your kids
not,
a lesson.
It's not right, Anna Zapp.
Okay.
Of course it's not right.
Okay, over 20, it's okay that she blew all the money on Botox.
Yes.
Under 20 years old, 100%. Not right.
You never know what that kid's been doing that year. That kid could have been terrible that year. We don't know.
That's all I need to know about you.
If you are spending this year as the first time that what you're getting everybody for Christmas is going to be lottery tickets, don't go in the middle of the busiest time ever when everybody's recovering from, you know, weather that's going on in the area too and trying to get out there. Man, that's all I need to know about you. There was a woman in line at the gas station last night. I swear she must have taken 25 minutes in front of me. And you know, here's the thing. If you're not somebody that plays lotto all the time, you don't speak the language, right? Like, you don't know what you're talking about. So it's cool. You got to ask questions. People will tell you how to play the game. That's totally fine. A lotto expert walks up, orders 17 tickets, gets 5 scratch tickets, and all that stuff happens inside of 2 minutes, you know?
Right. You can tell when people don't
know. She had no idea.
I'm one of those people, like, when I go, because I don't play the lottery very often, like, it drives my mom crazy.
You ask them to do it for you, right?
Well,
I mean, that's what I do.
Well, I always say, I'm like, okay, how do I do this again?
Yeah.
And then I always feel bad. It's like I'm asking for a tutorial when there's 6 people deep behind me.
But it's scratch cards. There's only so many Christmas ones. There's only so many that are in red and green. So
there's
just
so many
have her
options.
Dole them out. Just have her dole them out. I swear it's like 40 minutes. And she's going, sorry. And you're like, yeah, it's okay. And the first 3 times she says it, you say it back, you mean it.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, all bets are off.
It's all I need to know about you. This is the time of year where you hear all your holiday favorites. But have you ever really stopped and listening to the words and you're like, wait a minute, that's a little bit questionable.
Well, you got to keep in mind a couple of these things, you know, they could be 100 years old or something like that. Other times they just don't make sense at all, though.
Right. It's Anna and Raven. This is a song that I hear and it brings me pure joy because it's like the purity of children until you really stop and listen to the words and you're like, wait a minute, what's wrong with these kids?
Right.
Yeah.
Who's in charge of them?
Yeah. So let's start with this. Kids sound so nice.
Seems straightforward enough, right?
Yeah.
Good Christmas and a Happy New Year.
They
okay.
show up on your lawn. They're ready to carol. And you're like, oh my gosh, look at these cute kids. And then they continue.
Good tidings we bring to you and your kin. We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
All right. You bring
we don't
me
have
good
a king
tidings.
Here. I don't have a king here.
It's not a king. It's a kin. Like your kin.
Oh, kin.
Like other people.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But that's when things stop being normal and get a little bit weird.
They get creepy? All right, let's go. What?
All these
what do they say?
They want figgy pudding. And I just don't understand, like, why all of a sudden have they demanded that you bring them figgy pudding? They showed up to sing you the song to bring you good tidings and cheer.
If you don't feed them, they're going to burn your house down.
Like, they're so mad. It's like, oh, bring us. Like, how do you even know if I have any figgy pudding? I don't even know what figgy pudding is.
I didn't know you guys were coming.
Right.
Like, I mean, there's 17 of you.
Right, exactly. I Googled, what is figgy pudding? I still don't know what figgy pudding is.
Is it made of fig?
I'm guessing. I don't know. It says chestnut stuffed. I don't really understand.
Okay.
But then they get even more demanding.
We watch someone.
What'd they say?
They're not going to leave until you give them a figgy pudding. Get off my lawn. Who are you,
I'm calling the police.
I don't even have any figgy pudding. What do you mean you're not going to go?
I'll call the authorities.
We all like the figgy pudding. We all like the figgy pudding. We all like the figgy pudding.
Is this whole song about figgy pudding?
The whole song is about figgy pudding, and they're just demanding. They show up, and they come under the guise, and they want to wish you good cheer to you and your kin, and the next thing you know, they're demanding pudding, and they're not going to leave until you get it, and then it gets even crazier, Raven.
This is like a home invasion, a hostage situation here.
Do you think that there was a meetup group for people that loved figgy pudding, and they all just showed up, and they're like, this is what we're going to do, guys?
It would have been a good plan if there had been 100 years ago the internet, yeah.
Right, and they were like, you know what? We're going to all just go Carolyn, but we're just really... The plot is we're going to get as much figgy pudding as we possibly can from all these strangers.
It's kind of deranged.
It really, really is.
Wow.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
He's the keeper of the castle.
He didn't weed whack the lawn all summer.
He's a caring dog dad.
The dog hasn't been out since 2 o'clock.
He's the romance king.
We haven't been on a date in 6 months.
It's time for Raven's report card.
Every week we check in with Raven's wife, Alicia, to see how he's been behaving as a husband. Alicia, did he finally get the Christmas lights up?
He did. He did. He finally got them up. Was that last weekend or one day early this week? I don't even know. All the days are the same. But they're up and they look fantastic. There are 3 different areas that you have to plug them in, though. So that's a little wild. If you forget to unplug one, you know, there's like one. There's one strand on its own outlet, and if I forget to shut that one off, that one strand stays on all night. It must be funny to the neighbors.
Wait, so you actually have to go out there and plug them in?
There's one, like, plugged in the garage that does, like, the front lower gutters. There's one plugged in the back of the house because that's where I took the cord off the top gutters and put that off the back of the house. And the other one is plugged into an outlet. You just flick a switch on that one.
Yeah, the one strand is plugged into this outlet, though, that you flip the switch. And that's the easiest one, and I forget to do it. So it's one strand.
You know, honestly, if you look around at our neighbors' houses, none of them really go up high. Some of them do some nice displays. Some better than others, obviously. But nobody goes up high on the second ladder tier. So we're still ahead of the game.
Do you think you have the best lights on the street, Alicia?
I think we have the lights with the most effort on the street. There is a house, a few houses down, that has reindeer and Christmas presents and these cute little snowflake lights. I do like that house.
So it's just, she said that I tried, but I'm just not the best. I tried the hardest.
She said, you good?
We don't have anything fancy. They're just regular strands of multicolor lights. It looks beautiful. I love it. He puts them on my little tree and the bushes and the whole porch. But we do the same thing every year. We never switch it up.
We talk about getting new lights every year after Christmas. But I think, like, the day after Christmas, people that are after lights, they go out immediately. Because if you go out, like, a week later, it's like the stragglers left over of lights.
Yeah.
And then you're done with Christmas mentally anyway. So you're like, I don't even want to think about it.
I found my husband goes to get lights, and it's like all the quote-unquote good lights are not even available. They sell out, like, in October.
Right.
And nobody's even thinking about it back then. So then after Christmas, there's still no lights. It's like, I don't know when you're supposed to buy these Christmas lights, like, in the middle of the summer.
I guess so.
You got to know a guy.
Yeah. All right. And everything else is good?
Well, the Christmas tree looks like it's about to fall over.
Oh, is that because he forgot to cut the bottom? Raven, remember how upset you were about that?
Yes, I know. I know. Yeah. It's still not drinking. We commiserate about it all the time. Every night we look at the tree. The tree's getting thinner. There doesn't appear to be anything falling off the tree, but we're starting to see through the tree. It's strange.
It's a normal amount of shedding needles. It's not like I'm picking up piles, so I don't understand. But if you sit in a certain spot on the couch, you can see the whole trunk of the tree.
Right.
Right. Like all the way.
All the way through.
It's very strange.
It's hilarious. And we have one of those stands where you like, you release the little lever and you can position it so it's straight. And we keep pushing it back into place. And then every once in a while, I'll be in another room and I'll hear this big click. And I'm like, oh my God, it's going to fall over. Nope, it went right back to the spot we pushed it from. So I guess it just wants to lean forward. I don't know.
That's how it wants to live.
It's got to do you, Christmas tree. Do you.
Right.
Yeah, just be a little bit on a tilt. So what kind of grade would you like to give Raven for the week as a husband?
I'm going to have to give him a C. And I mean, he did not listen. He didn't give the tree a fresh cut. And that's why it's not drinking water. And I'm afraid to see what it's going to look like come Christmas.
Raven, you knew.
That week.
You knew at the beginning that you not cutting the bottom of that Christmas tree and giving it a fresh cut was going to haunt you, and here we are.
I'm like Nostradamus in that way. My failure is always coming on the horizon.
Bet you he does the same thing next year.
The phrases from 2020 that you never want to hear again. It's Anna and Raven. So they came out with this list, and it includes social distancing.
Oh, so over that.
Can you imagine a year ago if somebody said, oh, you have to social distance? It would be like a joke.
Right.
It wouldn't be like a real thing that's printed on stickers everywhere you go.
An oxymoron. Yeah. It's in every story, every news report, everything that you do now.
The new normal. New normal doesn't bother me. I don't know why it bothers you so much.
Every time
I say it, you get so mad at me.
Oh, I can't stand it because I'm not going to do this the rest of my life. I don't even care if this is the way that they tell me I have to exist the rest of my life. I'm going to live in the woods, all right? I will be a mountain man. That's what's going to happen.
Your new normal is that you live in the woods.
Yeah, that'll be it.
Okay.
No. I see what you did there.
Another one that makes you so mad that also doesn't bother me, and every time I say it, you shoot me daggers with your eyes. Unprecedented times.
Oh, no. That's not even a phrase, okay? That is some words. It's a word garble that a reporter said, and somebody went, oh, that sounds good. Let's keep doing that. And then everybody perpetuated that phrase. That's dumb.
COVIDiots. I never used COVIDiots, not even once. I think that's a dumb phrase, period.
Yeah, that doesn't feel like a lot of people are using that. I mean, it's clever, but it doesn't roll off the tongue all that easy.
Zoom bombing?
Yeah.
I got Zoom bombed. It wasn't fun.
That's true.
Remember
you told me.
Remember when I almost threw my laptop out the window because my door... Oh, my gosh.
Right.
It was the worst thing. I was doing a Zoom Zumba class.
Right.
And I had all, like, the women in my class that were signed on. And then all of a sudden, there was...
Extra activity.
There was... And I didn't know
it was physical.
It was physical.
Right, and it will burn calories.
So I screamed for my 11-year-old to come help me because I don't know how to get rid of it.
So, of course, then it means you're showing her directly what's going on.
And then I realize what it, two and two kind of click. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, she can see all these terrible, dirty things. And then I almost took my laptop and flung it out the window and just screamed.
You got to be ready to adapt with the times and make whatever move is necessary.
Yeah, and the Rona. I don't like the Rona.
Oh, I love the Rona.
Oh, see, no.
So I'm here for the Rona.
No.
The rest of those I'll trade in for the Rona. Rona, I like the Rona.
Rona to me sounds like pepperoni, and pepperoni is great, and the Rona is awful. It doesn't make any sense.
It's like I order a Rona at the bar, you know, like I have a Rona.
What's the phrase of all time? Forget about 2020, in general, that you wish you could never hear again.
Well, off the top of my head, I'm going to tell you that I can't stand all good things to those who wait. Which, by the way, there might be some truth in that, but here's the thing. Who's got all that time? All right. Who's got all that time to be waiting for everything that it is that you do that's good? I'm here now. That's true. Want that thing now.
Right. You have to be patient, though.
Oh.
Patience is a virtue.
Don't you start right now. It's a phrase used for grandkids. And once you get out of the grandkid age, right, once you get out of, like, you know, your single digits, don't ever tell me that again.
My least favorite phrase is you get what you get and you don't get upset.
Oh,
which, you know, so
terrible.
Many kids are going to be hearing for the holidays. You get what you get. You don't get upset. It's like, I could be disappointed. Like, let me be. I have feelings. I'm a human. Maybe, I don't know.
Right. Maybe I've been better than what you got me.
Yeah. Raven came in this morning, handed me a bottle of tequila, and he said to me, this is what you're getting this year. That was how nice he was. I mean.
Remember last year? The tears.
I was so happy
rolling
last
down
year.
My face last year as I brought you a very, very thoughtful gift.
So then this year you say you get what you get and you don't get upset.
That's right. That's exactly what happened.
What is the phrase?
That's exactly what happened.
Of all time that you just can't stand. A list of the most annoying phrases of 2020 has a lot of things that are not surprising. Social distancing, the new normal, unprecedented times, Zoom bombing.
I'm here for Zoom bombing, but if I hear new normal again, gosh.
It's Anna and Raven. How about anti-maskers? I never say that. Like, I just don't want to get involved. Yeah. Do
it's
what
not,
you want.
It's not easy to say either, right?
Right.
And it is such a divisive thing. But, yeah, hearing unprecedented times over and over and over again. Social distancing. Shut up. Never again.
But what's the phrase, forget 2020, just in general, that people use all the time that drives you absolutely crazy? I'm looking at our Facebook page. I say this, and I know that it sounds corny, and I'm trying to teach myself not to do it. Andrew wrote on our Facebook page, if you're not friends with us yet, just search Anna and Raven. Living the dream. Living the dream. Living yeah. And then you want to
That
know
means
why?
That I'm not putting any more effort into this conversation.
Well, it means like that I'm just doing what I'm doing and I'm going through the motions. And I realized, like, stop saying that because you actually are living your dream. These are your dreams. So why would you say that? You're living the dream. You're living the dream.
No, I'm not feeling that. I'm not feeling your explanation on that one. Am I living the dream? You know, I think that the one that matches up with that actually pretty good is most of the time I do what I have to. Sometimes I do what I want. Most of the time I do what I have to.
Angela wrote.
Right? If it was a dream, I'd never have to do what I had to. I would just do what I wanted.
I don't even know what you're saying. Angela wrote, okay, boomer. Okay, boomer is one from this year that I'm not into either.
It's very derogatory and dismissive. And yeah. It comes from an area where you feel like, you know, you're superior, right? You're condescending to somebody.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's the phrase you never want to hear again?
Calm down.
Oh.
I mean, calm down. I'm not sure that calm down is a phrase so much as it is just somebody actually trying to talk you off the ledge. But Anna, I'll tell you one that's very similar that I tell her all the time. She can't stand.
What is that one?
Relax.
Oh, when Ray tells me to relax, I lose my mind. Relax. Relax. Yeah. What do you mean relax? How are we going to relax? We got things to do.
I usually pair it up with relax. It's going to be fine. Relax.
Oh, gosh. Oh. Oh, you're right. I do hate that.
Annie and Raven, what's that phrase that you just can't stand?
There's two phrases. One of them is like, at the end of the day, what the heck does that mean? What happens at the end of the day?
You know what? I'm not going to lie to you. I use at the end of the day a lot.
Do you?
I do. I use it all the time. I'm like, at the end of the day,
you're going to go
to bed. Use even money. I use even money all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You always say, scared money don't make money.
Oh, that's what you always say. Me and Tupac, we always say that. Oh. What was the other one?
The other one is, I can't.
No, you will.
I can't do it.
You will.
I can't handle it. But Raven, what do you do at the end of the day?
Well, decisions have to be made. It's COB.
You know what I do at the end of the day?
You know what COB is? Close of business.
Okay, I got it. I sleep. That's what I do at the end of the day. I play Candy Crush and then I go to bed.
And Raven, what's that phrase you can't stand?
When pigs fly.
Oh, when pigs fly.
Pigs can't fly, and even if one of them did, their pig friends couldn't even look up because pigs can't literally look up.
Wow. Do we even know that for a fact? Do pigs have no movement in their necks?
Well, it's fat. Right. It's a fat.
Is that a fact?
I think they can move their neck.
They just can't look up?
I don't think they can look up.
Oh, you don't think so? Okay.
Pigs look up at the sky. Let's see. It's physically impossible for pigs to look straight into the sky. It's the anatomy of their neck muscles.
Oh, no. Wow.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. So pigs will never fly because they can't lift their necks.
Well, I don't know what that has to do with it. No. I mean, neither can an airplane. But, you know what goes with that? When hell freezes over.
We don't even know. How would you even know if it
freezes
over?
You haven't seen there.
Yeah.
You don't know if they get winter.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody has any idea.
Maybe they have seasons. Social distancing, the new normal, Zoom bombing. These are the phrases from 2020 that people are so sick of they don't want to hear anymore. It's Anna and Raven. But forget about 2020. There's some phrases that have been around forever, and every time you hear them, they just make you cringe inside.
Oh, it's really the worst.
1-800-330-9999. What's that phrase that you just can't stand? Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
Phrase that I hate is no worries. There's just something about that makes me crazy. I mean, who said I was worried?
Yeah, everyone, I say that a lot, and I don't like it either. Who? No worries. My husband doesn't like
worry.
It either.
Just
no
calm
worries.
Down, both of you. Don't worry.
No, it's not don't worry. It's no worries.
Well, you guys sound worried.
No, when you say don't worry, that's different. That's like something legit. But no worries is like a flippant. Like, no worries. Like when they say, like pull over, your fast food order isn't ready yet. You have to wait in slot 3. And you're like, no worries. Like, that guy wasn't worried. He was just telling you to wait for your fries.
Don't worry about it.
Exactly. You're insinuating that I'm worried.
Right. What do you say? Don't worry and no worries are two different things.
See, you seem worried about it. I just want you.
You're accusing me of no worries.
Now I just want you to stop talking, Raven. Hi, it's Yana and Raven. What's a phrase that you hate?
So it's my wife's favorite saying, and it just drives me crazy. What will be, will be.
Mm.
I know it's so dumb, but it just drives me nuts.
My dad would say, it is what it is. That was his. Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing.
But what is more grammatically correct? It is what it is, or what will be, will be?
I don't know.
That one doesn't bother me so much because I think it's true. It's like, what's going to happen is going to happen. Like, you just got to do the best you can.
See,
what?
You just did it.
Yeah, well, we'll be, we'll be. It is
it
what
is
it is.
It is what it will be.
It Oh.
What it will look be, at you. It is.
What it is, may it be.
What it will be, it is. I like that.
Yeah. What's a phrase that you hate? You can't stand it.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy. It is just so dumb. No grown adult or even a child should ever say that.
It's true. When you hear adults say it.
That
yeah.
says it.
That's,
yeah.
Oh, boss says that? How do you take a boss seriously when they say that? Easy peasy lemon squeezy.
Do you have problems squeezing lemons? Are they difficult to you or challenging?
Like, who made that up? That's a good one. I like, where did that come from?
Yeah. Dumb.
I need to Google that right now. Easy. Where did it come from?
Yes, please figure it out.
Hold on.
That's the origin for all
easy,
mankind.
Peasy. How do you spell peasy? Lemons. Oh, look, it pops right up. All right. It means extremely easy or simple. Yeah, we get it. One of the earliest documented instances of easy peasy appears in the 1940 American film The Long Voyage Home, used to advise a character to handle a suspicious box with care.
Yeah, you know what? This has been a waste of time. Next time, we'll just skip it over before looking it up. Pretend we know what we're saying and just forge ahead, like usual.
Right. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. What's a phrase that you can't stand?
Okay, I cannot stand the early bird gets the worm. Okay, like, what is that? Because I work nights, and I always feel like people look down on me because I sleep until 11 a.m. during the week.
Well, because we do.
Well, that's because we get up at 3 in the morning.
Right. But if she was working, of course we look down on that.
Yeah, but if she wakes up, if she has to work all night, when is she supposed to sleep? Of course she's got to sleep in the morning.
I'm just kidding. I mean, I appreciate that you're with us on your way home. I totally do. But the early bird does get the worm, and that's because I am the earliest bird.
Right, but think about how tired we are by 11 o'clock in the morning. She's just starting her day, and 11 o'clock, where it's all downhill from there.
That's right, but there's no worms left because I got them.
You ate them all.
From a lack of a filter.
I love when it's sweet.
To unhinged lunacy.
3 hours in traffic to get there while I just sat in traffic like a crazy person.
And a lack of compassion for the common man. We ask you, the people, is Anna Zapp out of line?
I feel bad. I feel bad, but I don't think I'm wrong. That's the thing.
Could be wrong.
It's Anna on Raven.
Totally could be wrong.
Is Anna Zapp out of line? That's me. Here's what happened, and tell me if I was wrong for what I did. I was working all day. I had like multiple events going on over the weekend, and my husband, I hoped he would come with me to the events, but he didn't want to, which is fine. I get it. And he said to me, he's like, how about we just go out to dinner tonight? We'll have a date night instead. So I go, great. Okay. Like, sold. I mean, you know, we've got two kids. I don't get date nights very often.
Right.
To be honest.
Right. I mean, it's nice of him to suggest that.
Yeah.
Don't worry, honey. I'll be here for you.
So he says, what do you want to eat? I go, well, I don't really care. I'm like, I'm in the mood for sushi. I had Italian last night. So maybe if we could do that, that'd be fun. And then I ran out and I was gone for the day. So now I call him on the drive home and I'm like, where are we going to dinner? And he mentions this Italian place. He's like, I made reservations online at this Italian place. So I was like, oh. He's like, oh, I called your favorite. He didn't say I called. He goes, I went online to your favorite sushi restaurant to Open Table, which is like that app that you can get restaurants.
I'm familiar.
And he's like, they were booked. So I chose here instead. So I said, all right.
It's a lot of initiative he took there, huh?
To go to OpenTable.com.
Your favorite sushi place of a little thing that you mentioned. He tried to do it, and they didn't have a table. And then he came up with a counter thing, an area. Is this another favorite restaurant of yours, this other place he picked?
It's a place we go. I don't know. I wouldn't call it a favorite.
Is it a favorite of his?
It's like a place we go. It's not one of our favorites.
So
but
what
it's
happened?
Somewhere we go. So then I called the sushi place because I say sometimes online they don't have tables. And I know my husband, Paul. I know he didn't call.
Right.
So I call and they say.
Still, he tried to make a romantic gesture.
They said, we have two seats at the bar because all the COVID restrictions, like you're the only ones at the bar.
Right. So the whole bar is yours.
Yeah. I go, yes, give me that. Who doesn't want that?
I'll sit in the hallway.
Wait, are you crazy?
If that's what the CDC says.
You mean I get the
that's
whole
where the
bar
placement
myself?
Is, I'm right here. I'll be right next to the governor.
So I call my husband back. I go, they've got the seats at the bar. I got a seat at the bar.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay. So now, fast forward hours later, we're sitting at the bar enjoying our delicious sushi. I'm as happy as can be.
Sure.
And he goes, you know, this is kind of just par for the course for you. And I was like, what?
Wow.
Yeah, he goes, I made reservations somewhere, but it wasn't good enough for you.
Oh.
So you went and got us different reservations and assumed. But I don't understand. I just thought that he took the effort.
Listen, how many times does it, you know, you hear this from your partner that you never make the effort. You don't do anything spontaneous or you don't think about these things. You don't make it. He had to make a reservation.
He went online and clicked a button.
He went and made a reservation to a place after he tried your famous place. And then you slammed the door and then one-upped him on top of it, took the power back, called the place, name dropped. Probably called up and was like, I'm Anna Zapp.
I definitely did not do that. You know me better than that.
I know, but I have fun saying it. Anyway, you did probably call up and just, you know, you have a way.
I just asked.
No, you have a way.
I said, do you have anything available anytime tonight?
You have a way to. You could have been like, is there anything at all?
Was I out of line? Should I have not done that? Should have I accepted the reservation that he found on OpenTable because it was convenient to click a time slot? Or
you're downplaying the fact that he made this gesture.
Was I wrong? Was I out of line? Am I out of line? It's Anna and Raven. This is when you get to decide whether or not I made a mistake. So over the weekend, my husband and I had planned a date night, and we don't get to go on them very often. So he said, what do you want to eat? I said, sushi. He went online to like opentable.com. Our favorite sushi restaurant didn't have any availability. So he just clicked a different restaurant, and it was an Italian restaurant. So when he called to tell me this, I actually physically called the sushi place, managed to snag a table for two, and he said I was wrong because he had planned the date night, and then I changed it to do what I wanted to do.
A couple things you need to know here, Anna. First off, your husband, Paul, used the word date before you. That means that he's in charge, all right, because he made this grand romantic gesture. What do I always hear from my wife? Oh, you never want to do anything. Oh, it's never spontaneous. How come I have to plan it if we do something? Paul did it. He took the initiative, and now you just disregarded it. You one-upped him.
But he made it sound like that our favorite restaurant, our favorite sushi restaurant, had no availability. I said, well, you didn't call. You just went online. Am I out of line because I changed the reservation? 1-800-330-9999. Hi, it's Anna and Raven.
No, I think she was perfectly right. She asked for sushi, and she got sushi.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, it's just his feelings. Yep, you're right.
But it's not like he made me dinner and I was like, I don't want your dumb dinner. We're going to go out. It was, I asked for sushi. He went online. The restaurant had no availability. So we clicked another restaurant that like we've gone to maybe twice because it was convenient. Am I wrong?
And Ann Raven, was Anna out of line?
Hey, Anna, you're the best. But yes, you were out of line. It's one thing if he asked you what you wanted to eat, but he wanted to take initiative, right? So now you can't complain when he doesn't plan things for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like ever again?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Think of your husband as a toddler, okay? And when he takes that first step, if you had just pushed your toddler over when they took their first step and said, you know, that was a good first step. I'm glad you had good intentions, but it actually should go this way. Think of how that would have went over. That's what happened.
I'm confused. I didn't think it was a big deal. I just wanted sushi. Gosh, all this for a dragon roll.
Yo, you high maintenance, yo.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Am I out of line? Just be honest with me.
No, if I was your husband, I wouldn't care. I don't think any husband would care. Date night is supposed to make you happy. So if you want sushi, then sure, let's get sushi.
See, that's what I'm talking about. Who cares?
No. Regular Friday, Saturday night plans, that's fine. He put it in the calendar a month ago, man. He put it in the calendar a month ago.
He did it that morning. It wasn't a month ago, Raven. It was literally that morning.
Well, if he put it in the phone that morning, he had been thinking about it for at least a month.
It wasn't in the phone. It was a conversation that we had.
He wanted you to think that's what it was. There was a real plan.
Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Be honest. Am I out of line on this?
Anna, you are definitely out of line. If your husband is taking initiative to pick a place, make the reservations. Just be happy. All you're doing is showing him that he's not good enough.
Oh, right. Now you made me feel bad. Right. She yelled at me like she was my mom.
Yeah, another time that we were just failing. As the husband, we're just trying. Most of the time, we're not trying. Let's be honest.
All I said was cancel the reservation. Oh, I made a different one.
Yeah, and mine's better. And my idea was better, but you say I never do anything.
Oh, my gosh.
He listed it as date night. Once date is on there, you can't touch it.
Okay. Hi, it's Anna and Raven. Go ahead. Be honest. Am I being out of line?
No, you're not out of line. Why is everyone overanalyzing this? You didn't want to eat, so you picked somewhere else. Guys always complain that women never know what they want to eat for dinner. And you knew. I mean, what's the big deal?
It's true. I specifically said I didn't want Italian. I did. I mean, granted, it was like a cross American contemporary Italian, so he thought it didn't count, but
I mean, it's a date night, man. It's a date night.
Right.
It's cold. That's a regular meal, that's no big deal. A date night, cold.
Santa Claus reached out, needs your help, needs to know who belongs on the nice list and who belongs on the naughty list, especially when we don't have a whole lot of time left before Christmas. You can call the Santa tip line at 833-431-0905. Let's check those messages.
Naughty or nice? You decide. Let's see who called in on the tip line today with Anna and Raven.
Message received yesterday.
Hi, Santa. This is Marianne. I need to put myself on the naughty list after today. I was texting a message to my boss, and I used the word contaminating, and apparently it's inappropriate. So please put me on the naughty list. Thank you.
Contaminating, not a good word, I guess.
Why?
I don't
Why
know.
Is that a bad word?
I don't know. People are sensitive to it, I guess, in 2020.
Contaminating? Like, I don't. I feel like you don't belong on the naughty list for that. Like, you're texting your boss. You're doing your job. You're just. I mean, I don't know who's contaminating something.
My guess would be
more background.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is my guess would be there's a little bit something more to this. There's,
what is she contaminating? Oh my gosh, it's a mystery we never may know the answer to.
Yeah, you're right about that.
Oh.
Message received yesterday.
Hi Santa, it's Brennan. Hey, we want to recognize that our teachers have been extremely nice. My teacher's name is Mrs. Fay.
Miss Peterson, that's my teacher name.
And we're in third and fourth grade. Happy holidays, Santa.
No, first.
First and fourth grade. Bye.
Come on, sissy. I told you what I'm in.
Right. I mean, you're supposed to know these things about me.
That's so nice.
That
I like
is nice.
Usually they call to say the teachers are giving too much homework. When you're calling to say your teacher is nice, that's great.
Message received yesterday.
Hello, Santa. This is Miss Hilliard, grandparents of Pete Patrick Priest, Caden Priest. They've been so good in school, getting good grades. I wonder if you could help them out for Christmas and get them a gift. Merry Christmas, and thank you so much. I am very proud of them, too.
Oh.
Have a Merry Christmas.
Who gets priority when the phone call comes into Santa? Is it the parents, the grandparents, the teachers? Because I feel like if you get a call of endorsement from the grandparents, chances are you're looking pretty sweet for the holiday.
Yeah, but, like, who says, like, what grandparent says their grandchild is being naughty? Like, Dakota?
That's what I'm saying. I mean,
one?
I get that, but.
Dakota is a terrible twos right now, right?
Sure.
My mom, every single time, she could literally destroy the house.
That's right.
She's perfect, Anna. What do you mean? I'm like, she almost lit the house on fire. What do you mean? Grandparents always love their grandkids. They're always going to want to get them presents.
That's true.
All right, if you want to call the Santa tip line, you can do it too. 833-431-0905.
Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us to let us know what their disagreement is about, and then you decide who's right. Kayla and Gerald. Gerald, I'm going to start with you. What's going on?
Okay, so we have 4 and 6-year-olds. They love Christmas, of course. Like with this year, you know, we got a tree. They were so excited to decorate it. And, you know, we had the decorating party. They were going crazy, as kids do. And they, you know, went all out, put all the ornaments on. And they're kids. And when they finished, it wasn't like a Hallmark-worthy tree, maybe. It was kind of looked a little bit crazy. But it was what our kids had done. You know, it was the way they decorated it. It was unique. And we went to bed. You know, I could tell that my wife, something was bothering her, and she just couldn't leave the tree looking, you know, in her eyes so bad. So after we were all, you know, it was bedtime and the kids were asleep, she came back out and just redid the whole tree and, you know, completely changed everything that they had done. You know, made it, I guess, quote unquote, presentable. But they were, I could see that they were sort of disappointed and maybe a little hurt the next morning.
Kayla.
Just deny it. I mean, just act like nothing happened, like it's all in their mind. Kayla, what, you couldn't sleep through the night? It was just driving you nuts? Because I've got a little bit of that OCD.
You know, yeah, it was just a huge mess. There was tinsel everywhere, like not, you know, just on the tree. It was like connected from the tree to the mantle, like hanging off. Candy canes on like the ornament hooks, stuffed animals, their toys that they put in the tree. And the other thing was all the ornaments were on the bottom half to where they could reach.
Well, kids are short.
So, it's not their problem.
Yeah.
It's their fault.
And, you know, someday you're going to long for when they were short again. But right now, you're not here for that during Christmas, I guess.
Well, you know, we were going to have to put more ornaments on the top part anyway. So I just redistributed them. I just, like, rearranged it a little bit.
When they weren't watching.
You know, I... Yeah.
Oh, this is tough.
I love it.
Really about them, like, being, you know, it was fun for them to do it, but that's not the way that, like, the tree is going to look when people come over. It was really a big mess.
That's a tough one. Like, do you just let it ride? But they were really upset, or were they just like, oh, Mom, why'd you do that?
Well, when they woke up, they were upset.
They're crying. Oh, haven't stopped crying now for 2 days. It's terrible.
I think we should just tell them that, you know, Santa came a little early, and he just wanted to make sure they were still being good. He checked on, you know, and he fixed the tree.
I don't think
it's a big deal.
No, yeah,
he didn't like their layout.
That's not what Santa does. Santa's busy right now in the North Pole. Came. He does not have time to redecorate your tree. Santa's got to make toys. Like, the days are numbered before Christmas.
Yeah. Santa came and let them know that their art and their thoughts and their mind, their vision was not good enough. That's what Santa did.
I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, obviously they know that Mom redid the tree. I guess the question is were you wrong to redo it? It's tough because I know me, I'd be like, oh, that's nice. And then every day I'd be like, oh my gosh, like, I need to fix it. But the fact that you did it overnight and they woke up and went downstairs to see their masterpiece and it was completely changed, I could see why that would be upsetting for the kids too. We could see what our audience has to say. Do you agree with Gerald? Was it wrong for Kayla to do this? Or you may see Kayla's side too, that it was fun for them to do it, but then you had to fix it. That's kind of how it works.
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Gerald and Kayla have 2 girls, 4 and 6 years old, and they all put up the Christmas tree together, and much like a 4 or 6 year old would do, it was a lot of stuffed animals shoved right in there, all the ornaments were on the bottom half of the tree, tinsel everywhere. When they went to bed, Kayla redecorated the tree.
It's not the center of Bloomingdale's. It's the center of your living room, right? And these kids are growing. Wouldn't you want to leave that? That's what Gerald says anyways. Kayla just couldn't handle it.
Yeah, the kids were upset when they woke up and they saw that Mom had changed everything.
Everything was so low, Anna. Kids are short.
Whose side are you on? Was she wrong for doing that? 1-800-330-9999. It's a Couples Court with Anna and Raven.
Definitely the husband's side, and I know this through experience because I did the same thing all the time. My tree had to be perfect. And my child is now grown up, and I have 2 younger children. But she's 40, and she will still tell me how upset I was about how every little thing had to be just so, and everything she put on was wrong. And she grew up feeling terrible about me changing her ornaments or fixing it the way I like. So tell the wife, you know, learn from this lesson. Just leave it. It's so much more fun to see the kids. Oh, and then, of course, I let the other 2 kids do whatever they want.
Right. Now you've learned.
Yeah, now you broke in. Right. Yeah. Thanks for the call.
Yeah, it's a parenting lesson. Yeah, it's upsetting, you know.
And decorating the tree with my wife, I told her, I was like, you get too intense about the whole situation. She's laid back over the last few years. She's pulled it back.
Yeah, I'm anal about a lot of things, but this isn't one of them.
Well, I mean, I think you have to know that once you have children, that your art is going to be ugly.
And on Raven, whose side are you on?
Good morning. This is Frank. I'm on the husband's side. You know what? It's a memory that the kids are going to remember forever. Remember when we did that tree? They'll say to each other when they get older, believe me, because my kids did the same thing with Christmas one time, and they're in their 30s, and they still talk about it. So definitely on the husband's side, she should have left it.
I agree.
I mean, if you want your tree to look better, just have more talented children.
Yeah, but I think there's something beautiful about, like, a ridiculous-looking tree, because you know the kids did it. Anna and Raven, whose side are you on this morning?
Hi, good morning. I'm on the side of the husband. I don't think she should have done that, and I think that was a horrible thing to do to those children, and I think she scarred them for life.
Oh, my gosh. That's what the first lady said, too.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Gerald, our audience agreed with you. Kayla, it meant a lot to them. It was their art project. But the fact that you changed it, a majority of our audience agreed that you should not have done that.
All right.
You know, I just feel bad.
I mean, her heart was in the right place.
Yeah, but you got to let kids, you know, own their work. Sure, it looks crazy, but that was what they wanted to do. It's kind of like they're figuring out, you know, their identity sort of through doing stuff like that.
I mean, if you wanted to rearrange the tree, it probably would have been best to do it while the kids were there. Talk with them about it. Maybe lift them up in the air so they weren't so height challenged as it really bothered you, the placement.
That's true.
Going forward, you know, maybe get them a tree.
A lot of times people
have a kid's tree, right? So it goes in the bedroom or whatever, and they can do whatever they want on that.
That's a good idea.
Oh, that is a great idea.
Yeah.
All right, get a short one.
A small one. All right, if you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
Hey, it's Anna and Raven. Who's this?
Hi, it's Trish. How are you?
I'm great, Trish. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
Sure. Good luck, Trish.
All right. So here's the thing. This is your last chance to win all this cash before Can't Beat Raven goes on hiatus until January 4th. It all comes down to you, okay?
Oh, boy. A lot of pressure.
$1,300 on the line. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. I'll bring Raven back in and ask him the same 5 questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. If it's a tie, it goes to Raven. But if you beat him, all that money's yours. Ready?
Okay.
Number 1, Peter Billingsley, who played Ralphie in A Christmas Story, said that a prop man gave him real chewing tobacco during the cowboy scene in A Christmas Story. What was Ralphie's most wanted present in the movie?
The sled.
Number 2, Prince William and Duchess Kate released their holiday card online, and their 2-year-old son, Louis, stole the show with a huge smile. How many children do Prince William and Duchess Kate have?
3.
Number 3, George Clooney says that he stands by Tom Cruise after his recent outburst on the set of Mission Impossible when 2 crew members were not abiding by pandemic safety protocols. How many times has George Clooney been named Sexiest Man Alive?
3.
Number 4, Eminem dropped an album last night called Music to Get Murdered To, Side B. In his hit song, Lose Yourself, finish these lyrics. His palms were sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy. There's vomit on his sweater already. What did he vomit that he says next?
I don't know, eggnog?
And number 5, Long Island, New York's Carter Rubin is the winner of The Voice this season. Who was his coach?
Gwen Stefani.
All right. Trish, let me bring Raven back in. Okay.
Yo.
Trish got She got 2 out of 5.
Not too good. Let's see how I do.
Oh, boy.
Oh, darn it.
$1,300. Here we go.
I know. Number 1, Peter Billingsley, who played Ralphie in A Christmas Story, said that a prop man gave him real chewing tobacco during the cowboy scene in A Christmas Story. What was Ralphie's most wanted present in the movie?
He wanted the Red Ryder BB gun with the compass in the stock, of course.
Yes.
Come on, girlfriend. Best movie ever.
Number 2, Prince William and Duchess Kate released their holiday card online, and their 2-year-old son, Louis, stole the show with a huge smile. How many children do Prince William and Duchess Kate have?
They have 3 kids.
They do. Number 3, George Clooney says that he stands by Tom Cruise after his recent outburst on the set of Mission Impossible when 2 crew members were not abiding by the pandemic safety protocols.
Right.
How many times has George Clooney been named Sexiest Man Alive?
He's done it twice.
Oh. Number 4, Eminem dropped an album last night called Music to Get Murdered By, Side B.
Nice!
In his hit, Lose Yourself, finish these lyrics. His palms are sweaty, knees weak, arms are heavy, there's vomit on his sweater already. But what did he vomit?
Mom's spaghetti.
Yes. And number 5, Long Island, New York's Carter Rubin is the winner of The Voice this season. Who was his coach?
Team Gwen.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Trish, he blew you out of the water 5-2 this morning. We will hook you up with an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
Thank you so much. You guys are great. I love you. I can't be Raven.
All right. Well, we thank you so much for playing. Hold on the line. We're going to get you that shirt.
Be on notice, 2021. I'm coming for you. Better luck next time.
So Can't Be Raven now goes on break until January 4th. But over the next couple of weeks, it's actually one of my favorite times because we play You Can Beat Raven. It's all the times that Raven lost. And when we come back on January 4th with Can't Beat Raven, that means we add another $100 to the jackpot, and the jackpot will be $1,400.